Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, you may remember, last June, you had Donald Trump running around saying, I made good on my promise, we're going to fix the VA. He signed the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act, and this was supposed to be a piece of legislation that we're going to go after those management people who are screwing everything up, the people who didn't really know what they were doing, or who knows. It was going to make sure that people were held accountable. Well, as we talked about on Monday with Jasper Craven, it turns out that the people who are being held accountable are the people who are least able to do anything about the environment. In fact, as he pointed out, only 5 senior leaders have been removed since last June. And instead of going after that brass, what they've seen is over 1,200 people have been fired, you know, housekeepers and people who work in the dining hall and people who do other jobs that, you know, I would argue aren't critical. But oddly enough, a lot of them seem to be veterans too, which is kind of a weird scenario. And here to share some thoughts and explain what's going on, I've asked Marilyn Park to come talk with us. She's the legislative representative for the VA for AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. Marilyn, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So am I getting this right? We, you know, Trump last June said we're gonna fix it. We're gonna fix the VA. It's gonna be great. We're gonna make it terrific. And this accountability and whistleblower act is gonna work wonders. Am I getting that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. He made that promise that his law, this new law, was going to fix what was wrong.
And who'd we fire?
It just made it worse. It's exactly who you said. I think these people are the heart and soul of a when you have a big VA hospital or clinic, the people who keep the place free of MRSA infection, the people who make sure the veterans get fed at the bedside, the people who bathe the veterans, or the frontline nurses. They're all getting fired, and the managers are just being moved around like chairs on the deck of the Titanic once again.
Now, for me, and I've had numerous conversations with people over the last year or two in talking about this, because there are some problems at the VA. Everybody agrees there are things that can be done and that need to be done. And I would argue the first thing is making sure that it's fully staffed and fully funded, because we've been cutting need to the VA for a long time. And I know everyone keeps telling me, but Rick, we're giving them more money. Yeah, but we've got much more need than we thought we were going to have. We should have much more resource.
Absolutely. The money is not going to staff. Veterans say time and time again in independent studies, what they want is more staff at the VA because they like the people who take care of them there. They prefer them over people in the private sector. But when you're sick, you need to see somebody on time.
Yeah.
And when Secretary Shulkin was still on board, he himself said to the Congress when he was there testifying, we're not going to be able to keep our doctors if we give them triple the caseload they're supposed to have. I mean, people can't keep running on empty like that. And so the patient suffers, the workforce cannot endure after a while, and then you set it up for failure, which is what the Koch brothers and the administration want to do. They want to privatize.
Yeah, and again, you look at all this stuff. You look at this stuff that's going on. You look at the fact that they're firing people who really have no power to change the dynamics of the institution. It just looks like they're doing something and also usurping their rights on the job as well. It just seems like to me as an outsider that it's just what you said. They're really setting this up to fail. They're doing everything they can do to throw a wrench into the system so they can say, look, it's failing. We need to privatize and profitize it.
Right. And send them into the perfect private sector where we never know what's going wrong and where people wait all the time and have to manage their own care and there's no coordination. Veterans deserve not to have fragmented care. They have complicated needs.
Yep.
They should have a comprehensive integrated healthcare system. The VA is a model for the rest of the country, but they're trying to destroy it. So I couldn't agree with you more
You hit on an important point there that I have to highlight every time it pops out, which is, you know, the private sector does, you know, some things well, but the VA has institutional knowledge. They know, you know, what people have been exposed to. They know what you know, are injuries that are typical of our veterans, and they have that institutional knowledge that I don't think anyone in the private sector has, and I think it would end up being a nightmare if we were to privatize this.
Absolutely. When a vet walks in to a primary care clinic, and remember, most of us don't have the team approach to start. They walk into a whole team for primary care, and that doctor or nurse practitioner, physician, doesn't listen to their symptoms and says, you know, I think maybe you need to go down the hall to the mental health clinic. Or some of these symptoms might be related to toxic exposure. We're going to send you down the hall to this specialty place. Whereas if they're outside, they're left to fend for themselves, you know, boomeranging from one disconnected place to another that doesn't understand veterans' needs. And I want to just point out again, just today, several new independent reports came out that the VA is outperforming the private sector, and the VA is far more suitable for veterans, and private sectors do not have the cultural competence, the understanding of veterans, whether it's medical care or mental health. They deserve to have a place that's designed for them and not be thrown out there in a broken healthcare system that others are really struggling in.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But, you know, the last time I had your president on, J. David Cox, he told me that there are some 49,000 job openings at the VA that have yet to be filled, and that there doesn't seem to be any real urgency to fill. So when I hear you say that, you know, they're still doing better than the private sector could do with, you know, a gap of 49,000
right.
people to do that, I go, how much better could it be if we fully funded, fully staffed, and fully supported the VA instead of these half-baked schemes to profitize it?
Not just that. Not only would they be able to do even more, but I think they're just such a wonderful, dedicated group of people. They already know how to do a lot with less, but of course they can't run on empty forever. But there are many more veterans who aren't using the VA who need to use the VA, and they would be encouraged to come in, and they should. Everybody who needs to use the VA should be in there. And if we need more staff, then that's what we should be doing, and we do. Yes, Secretary Shulkin mentioned nearly 50,000 unfilled positions and continue to support that by saying there are specific vacancies among mental health, too, that are very critical to be filled. And we've tried to get legislation for that, and a number of members of Congress have tried to get funding specifically for hiring, but they're all about cutting. There's already a hiring freeze on in the VA medical centers. That started earlier this year. A hiring freeze?
How can there be a hiring freeze when you're down 50,000 already?
Because this administration is all about shrinking the VA and sending the resources out to their friends in the private sector. You know, these private sector big healthcare corporations that are doing business with the VA to expand this massive quote-unquote choice program, they're not even subject to regular routine federal contractor requirements like audits and caps on executive pay. Federal contractors have rules they have to follow, how they treat their contract employees. These guys have a free rein, they have a blank check, and they are using the VA's slush fund to get richer at the expense of veterans. It's outrageous.
And no, it's completely outrageous. Now, I remember when all this went on and all that whole choice stuff started happening, I said, well, how about you create a new fund of revenue to fund your choice program? How about we say, okay, well, you know, we're just not going to use the VA's budget as a slush fund, as, you know, a piggy bank for the profiteers to dip into. How about we create an additional stream of revenue, and that's where that goes. If you have to go the privatization route, how about that? And well, we're never going to do that.
No, we don't. And every time they say that the private program is running out of money, it's so much more money gets sent to them, and they, you know, with these short-term funding bills, and it doesn't go to the VA. And I want to know something else. There's a bill that's moving very quickly in the Congress to further privatize the VA, and that bill includes a facility closing section called a BRAC. Some people recognize those from
sure.
the military. Base
the realignment.
Closings, now, exactly, base closing, realignment bills. Now they're going to use a private commission appointed by the president if this bill passes, and we're fighting very hard to not let it pass, that would take the power away from elected officials and the constituents that put them there to decide whether a VA hospital stays in their community and or closes, and it'll be put in the hands of a commission appointed by the president. And guess how that very expensive BRAC process is going to be paid for? Direct pipeline into VA's healthcare dollars. So one more way that money's taken away from the bedside nurses and the MRI and the other staff, the doctors, the therapists, the people cleaning the operating room, take it away from them and put more of it into enriching these CEOs.
I mean, that's just maddening and outrageous on so many levels. And thinking about, you know, back when, you know, in when you know, they did the last realignments, they were all political. And I mean, you know, now I'm starting
Absolutely.
To envision, you know, any Democrat who's got a VA in their district, your constituents are going to be screwed. And I think of the one
Absolutely.
Where I grew up, you know, the VA in Cleveland, you know, because most of my relatives, you know, served in World War II and in
right.
in Korea and in Vietnam.
Oh, yes.
You know, they use that VA, and you know they sing its praises. You know, to see something like that be attacked for purely political pandering and purely political reasons is maddening.
Absolutely. And you know the irony is what you're describing in Cleveland and so many parts of the country is that is a community of care for veterans, VA Medical Center. That's their community. And they're trying to claim that the community care is the private voucher that's going to send them to the walk-in clinic in the shopping center or some, you know, independent doctor who doesn't understand veterans in some, you know, office park. The VA is the community, and when you take that away, you lose so much. The veteran loses, the people in the town lose, the jobs, and they won't be able to fight for that anymore because it'll be a private commission
yeah.
that makes the decision.
And you end up losing the institutional knowledge instead of expanding this. Because,
look,
you know, one of the big arguments, the big, you know, points I get, and I understand it, that, you know, sometimes these VA facilities are too far away. Sometimes, you know, people who live in rural areas or in, you know, in areas that are farther away than, you know, than the big facilities, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
they have longer waits, longer drives, all of that stuff. There's got to be a way to accommodate them without destroying the system for everybody else.
First of all, we have many clinics that are able to be built quickly. You know, you lease space and then you bring VA staff up there. Secondly, VA is the national leader on telehealth, telemedical health, and telemental health. Now, that isn't going to cover everything, but it is very, very sophisticated right now. And even Phil Rowe, the chairman of the House VA committee, acknowledged that VA is the leader. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to give that to the contractors to run to. There are many ways to fill gaps. You know, caused by geography or short-term staffing needs. But contracting out, all that does is irreparably harm the VA. Once you shut down parts of the VA or you starve it of staff, it eventually will atrophy and it will not recover. You can't keep taking a whole system and slicing pieces of it, expect it to still deliver comprehensive care, expect it to still be the number one source of training for every doctor in this country, and all of the medical research that all of us benefit with as health consumers only comes about because the VA is the largest government-run healthcare system. Their research benefits the entire country, but that cannot continue if
yeah.
you chop it up into little pieces.
No, I mean, it's insane. And you were talking about being the leader in tele appointments.
Health.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, immediately my mind goes to, you know, the last time I had an X-ray done, it was read in India. So I'm now envisioning
yes.
our veterans on a telescreen with a doctor from India or who knows where, China
right.
or who knows where, because a private company has outsourced it because it's cheaper to go there.
Absolutely. That's the healthcare system that we're telling veterans is better. That's the choice we want to give them, the choice to go into a broken healthcare system. How many parts of this country have medical deserts where they don't have enough doctors, right? They're already not getting paid on time. They're not going to rush to take these patients over others. Plus, these patients cost a lot. They have complicated needs. You know, the private sector, they like to make money off their patients. Quick single acute care. They don't want people with multiple problems.
Well, I mean, if you listen to the guy who's running for governor in Oklahoma, I don't know if you saw this
uh-huh.
story. But according to him, if you look, if you can't take care of yourself without government assistance, you should just starve and die.
Oh. No, I understand. I remember I've heard about other states contemplating caps on Medicaid and stuff. You know, we are just.
You gotta go. What's wrong with us? What is wrong with us as a society?
I'm speechless like you. But the veterans knew if they signed up and they came home, this was one safety net they could count on, and they're trying to take that away now too, and hand them a card and tell them go to a walk-in clinic in a shopping mall, or just fight for an appointment with that primary care doctor or cardiologist out there. There are ways to supplement gaps in VA care because of, you know, big rural areas or, you know, specialty healthcare needs. VA's always done it, but the difference was VA was in charge and VA arranged it. VA set it up and VA continued to be the mothership where everything was coordinated. Now it's just becoming these little independent pods where veterans are getting lost in the system. Bill collectors are going after them because their doctors aren't getting paid. It is a nightmare. And again, every survey by veterans groups, by independent think tanks, but like RAND, show the VA outperforms the private sector. And that is essential. The veterans deserve to keep that system strong. And we're going to fight with everything we can to not let this bill massively privatize the VA and impose a politicized commission, like you said, to pick and choose which hospitals have to shut their doors.
I'm with you. So let me ask you last question. How do we stop this? How do our listeners get involved? What do we do? Because look, nobody wants to see our veterans, you know, left out into the cold. No one wants to see them have to wait for appointments or not get the care that they want. Look, I mean, we've got politicians who love to take pictures with them and put them up and use them for photo ops. How do we actually take care of them?
We have a bill that's moving very fast through the House and Senate. The current number is S2372. It's been named the VA Mission Act of 2018. As far as we're concerned, the mission is to privatize the VA. Stop the VA Mission Act. Don't members of the House should oppose it. It's coming up for a vote in the next day or two. When it goes to the Senate, senators should oppose this bill. We can do better for veterans. We can come up with a better way to keep the VA strong and supplement it where there are gaps as needed. But we have to stop starving the VA, and we have to stop looking to the privatization as the fix.
I'm with you. What's the name of that bill again?
The VA Mission Act of 2018, and the moving bill number is S2372, and a lot's going to be happening before Memorial Day, so the sooner people reach out to their elected officials, the better, and say, don't privatize the VA with the Mission Act, and don't bracket.
That's our marching
Stop
order.
Bracketing our VA.
That's the marching order
Thank
for,
you for, that.
For tomorrow. That's the marching order from now until Memorial Day. Marilyn, I appreciate the time. Thank you. Extremely informative, extremely good stuff. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Again, you know, this is another one of those moments where this should be one of those issues that is not political, not at all. But thank you so much, Marilyn Park. Let's take a quick break. Amazing stuff. Quick break. Right back after this. This is why we fight, why we lie awake. This is why we fight. Finally, radio for the rest of us. Rick Smith.